Well, here we are. You, me, a show, an opening theme song.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
A British lady saying whatever.
Whatever.
Got it all. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. I can prove it, because it's going to happen now.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. How are you today? Rhetorically, he asked. Good? You feeling all right? That's great. Here we are again. Here we are. I don't know how you slept last night. I didn't sleep very well. Yeah, not good. I'm going to bed too early, and I'm waking up too early. Granted, I for those of you who don't know, this show is taped every day at like 5 o'clock in the morning. I know. What the hell's wrong with me? I understand. I got to tell you something. This is like a high wire act because I perform this program without any coffee. I know. Thank you very much. It's an amazing feat. I do have amazing feet, actually. Except for my toenails get very, very hard. I don't know why. And it's very hard to clip them. I have to bring in excavating team and construction workers. It's not easy. Anyway, that's not your business, so stop asking me those personal questions. The holidays are upon us. I've got to tell you, I've got somewhat of a reputation for a couple of things. First, that there's some type of story going around that I don't like people. Can you believe that people actually say that about me, that I don't like people? Well, it's true. I don't. I like some people for a limited period of time. But otherwise, it's an accurate statement. I'm actually a very kind, wonderful person. It's just that all of the rest of you don't seem to be the same way. But anyway, again, enough about me. I'm not into the holidays, man. I'm just not into the holidays. I don't know. It's just things change too much. You have to do too much stuff. I especially don't like Christmas, not for religious reasons, but I don't like the phony way that people are. All year, people are nasty and divisive and horrible. They're horrible. They're pushy. They're manipulative. It's just people are just out for themselves and don't give a crap about the next person, disrespectful. Then the holidays come along. How are you? Hi. Bless you. Bless you all. Bless your family. Bless your wonderful little family. Oh, my. Bless your family. What are you, Jekyll and Hyde? What are you doing? Stop it. I know you're kidding me. You don't send me a card all year, but Christmas time, for some reason, you send me a card, and inside the card it says, bless you and bless your family. Bless your family and you and your family. Why are you blessing me now? Don't you always treat me like I'm blessed? Don't act like an asshole all year, but around the holiday, bless you. Bless you and your family. Christmas is just, it's nice, I suppose. All of a sudden, I can't hear the music that I'm usually used to. I have to hear this Christmas music, the same stuff every year for 300 years. Johnny Mathis only comes to life on Christmas. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Where does that happen? Where do you live? It's like a fantasy land that doesn't exist unless you're watching it on television in a movie or something, or it's recreated. Otherwise, we don't act like that.
Bless you. Bless you and your family. At this time of year, I send my greetings. Other times of the year, I don't give a crap about you. But bless your family.
I don't understand it. It confuses me. It confuses me. Stop confusing me. You're nice to me like during the holiday season, otherwise not so much. I try to be nice to you all year round, or not nice to you at all year round. I'm consistent. The other thing I don't like about the holidays, and I know this is the United Companies of America, is the entire holiday, all these holidays are just turned into money-making machines for businesses. And that's good. We got to have an economy. I get that. But it's just so inundated with this stuff. I thought Black Friday was the day after Thanksgiving. No, Black Friday is every Friday. Red Friday, there's Purple Friday. If you're not Democrat, Republican, there's Purple Friday. There's Casual Friday where you don't dress up. I'm so confused by everything. Why do we buy gifts for children? Until the age of about 3, all children want to do is beat on a pot. Here's what you do. You go down to your kitchen, you take out an old rusty soup pot and find a wooden spoon. I'm sure you have that sitting around that's like really dirty. You don't use it for cooking. What could you possibly use it for? Here's an idea. Take a piece of string, drill a little hole in the handle of the wooden spoon, thread the rope or the string through it, attach the other end of the string to the handle of the soup pot, get a big freaking box, put the spoon and the connected pot into the box, wrap it with some wrapping paper, and give it to the little freaking baby on Christmas. You can buy hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars of gifts for the child. They will open it up, look at it, go, ooh, play with it for 30 seconds, you're out $300. However, when they open up the gift-wrapped box with the soup pot and the attached wooden spoon, they'll bang on that thing for years. Until they're 97 years old, they'll be banging on that pot. And that costs you virtually absolutely nothing, or whatever the cost of the scotch tape and the wrapping paper was. The box is disposable. That's all it takes. When are you people going to figure that out? I was forced to go to a church service at a church, which is where they have these church services apparently. And I'm getting there, and it's what they call a midnight candle thing. That's exactly what it was said on the program, a midnight candle thing. And so I go into this church, they bring the lights down, and everybody is handed a little candle with a little, it's just a little candle. And these guys come around and they light your candle and the church service begins and you're supposed to sit there and hold the candle. After about a minute and a half, better known as 90 seconds, the wax on the candle starts melting, drips down the side of the candle, and I'd say within about 3 minutes, I'm feeling my flesh burning. There's this odor of skin that's starting to melt. The wax is starting to encompass itself upon my fingers holding the candle. And I felt like raising my hand in the middle of the church service and saying, "Excuse me, is anybody else's hand starting to come off? Does anybody else find this incredibly uncomfortable? Am I supposed to be suffering in a church as I'm praising the Lord? I must suffer? What is going on with you people? Can you shorten this up before the entire candle encompasses the palm of my hand and all my knuckles, please? Are we doing a wax cast of my extremities here? What are we doing here? Could we speed this up a bit, priest? I don't know. The one thing I never liked about churches or houses of worship, synagogues, you name it, is the priest, the rabbi, whoever. They just don't know when to stop talking. They spout off these moral things, the way that we're supposed to live our lives. And then you kind of feel like saying, well, what about your life, priest, rabbi? You have no problems. You are perfect. You are totally moral day and night. Catholic Church priest, I don't think so necessarily. Who are you to spout off? Well, Ron, it's written in the book. What book are you reading? That's nice, but the messenger isn't very clean here. I really think that rabbis and priests should be limited to sermons that last no more than maybe 5.5 minutes. You go beyond the 5-minute mark, people are going to start nodding off. They really, nobody is that interesting after 5 minutes when they're talking basically about nothing. I hate to be lectured to. My parents lectured me. They told me how to act as a human being. Well, that worked out. And all the time, as a kid, I kept saying to myself, you're telling me how to act like a human being? I'm familiar with you people. You don't have a great track record yourself. I understand you're the only two other people in the house and your job is to raise me, but could you clean up your act first, please? I mean, seriously. Be very, very careful. When you start spouting off wisdom, be very, very careful where it's coming from. Some people spout off wisdom. Other people talk just to hear themselves talk. There's some kind of power deal when you stand behind a pulpit with masses of people sitting in front of you. You get this power-hungry kind of feeling like everything that comes out of your mouth is somehow golden. And when a priest or a rabbi stands in front of a congregation and they're quoting the good book, they ramble off into their personal lives and their personal opinions. And at a point, it's like a radio show. Why don't you put me behind a pulpit? I'll throw in some jokes. Why don't priests and rabbis throw in more jokes? Get a couple of comedy writers. You might find that your sermon might be a little more lively and interesting, as opposed to using Bible parables that took place quite a few years ago, supposedly, and you're trying to apply them to things now like social media, cell phones. The two don't really match up. We're getting a little too far advanced in technology for you to go spouting off about people walking through a desert. They don't walk through deserts anymore, man. They drive through them. They hike through them with backpacks. It's difficult for kids to relate to that. It's difficult for me to relate to that. Are you following anything that I'm saying? No? All right. It's understandable. I got to get off my pulpit.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Refined entertainment for a sophisticated audience. Who sometimes enjoy a good fart joke?
Who doesn't enjoy a good fart joke? Actually, I don't. I don't enjoy a good fart joke.
Guess I got what I deserve.
Not enough. Not that much. You deserve a little bit less than that. I gotta be honest with you. I have a feeling what I want to get Donald Trump for a Christmas present. Here's your present, Donald. An orange jumpsuit. Try that on for size. Now, I'm not saying that the Democratic takeover of the House of Representatives is necessarily going to mean automatic indictments for Donald Trump. I'm not saying that. I'm hoping that. Look, Mike Pence can be president. He's next in line to the throne. Then you got all your policies, Republicans. You got all your stuff there. But this time you got a guy with a shorter haircut who has a little bit more of a moral situation going on than Donald does. Why Republicans aren't standing up and saying, look, we've had enough of this guy. He's embarrassing us. He's ruining the world and our stature in it and our country every minute of the day. Enough of this bullcrap. Let's get rid of him, put Mike Pence in there, and let's get on with our lives and start buying Christmas presents for kids. And they wonder why there's a rise in drug and alcohol abuse. It's we're being driven to it in a high-speed car. Stop driving me to it. Do you know there would be parties in the streets if Trump were removed from office? Again, it doesn't have to be a Democratic president. Throw Pence in there. I don't care. Bring back George Bush. I mean, I am so sorry that I said nasty things about him and was discontent with him back at the turn of the century. I so much apologize for that. I didn't have the comparison here. I apologize. My bad. I really missed the boat on that one. Here's the deal. Bill Clinton didn't sleep with an intern or whoever that Monica Lewinsky was. She was cute when she wore a hat, you know, a little chunky, but some people like that. It's fine. I kind of do myself. He didn't sleep with her. They had stand-up sex, let's call it. Stand-up or kneel-down sex. So in the White House, that's pretty cool. I thought there were security cameras all over the place. Guess not. So, yeah. I never thought that someday everybody would turn around and say, so what? Big deal. Donald Trump has been accused of sexual assault and other things by more than a dozen women. And yet, nah, he goes on a tour bus and he, you know, an Entertainment Tonight tour bus. I think we've all been on those with a guy named Billy Bush. Couldn't be more fitting last name wise. Talking about that very thing. Trump on audio having conversation, and it was released when he was just a candidate. And Trump says, you know, I can grab any woman's pussy I want, and I have done it. They're always coming up to me and kissing me and stuff. I can get anything I want because I have power. It's amazing what the girls will do to me. And he still became president, and yet Clinton. See, Clinton wasn't impeached because he had this stand-up sexual thing with Monica Lewinsky. He was impeached because he lied about it. Donald, get ready, man. I hope you look good in orange. And you know what? I kind of know you do. Because your complexion is orange. Your hair is almost orange. This jumpsuit, man, is made for you. The entire penal system color code was done in your honor, Don. So let's take advantage of it. Man, could anything be more perfect? We'll find out, that's for sure. In the meantime, the holidays are upon us. And at the Thanksgiving table and at the holiday table, you need placemats. And I know where to get them. And when we come back, our guest will join us.
Do you know that there is one item that can not only increase your home's beauty, but its value? That would be placemats. Hello, I'm George Karanapikopoulos, owner of George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse, your one-stop for all your placemat needs. We have a placemat for every room of your house. That's right, placemats are not just for the dining room anymore. Anywhere you might make a spill, or maybe where you eat, like in front of the TV, I do it all the time like you. You want a placemat. We have fancy placemats, like in bamboo or teak. That's right, teak. Nice plastic laminate ones for no stains, even blue. We can custom make your placemats in as little as 2 weeks. Come to our showroom at the intersection of Route 27 and the Holbrook Turnpike. You're going to like what you see. Your placemat is waiting for you at George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
Good, yourself?
Good, thank you. Mark Carpenter is the Senior Director of Communications at the Institute of Scrap Recycling Industries. And this is fascinating because almost everybody listening to us right now recycles their town or city, most likely has the two individual bins, and they collect it. And we, as good Americans and good citizens, we separate our trash from the recyclables. And I think all of us will raise our hand and say, we're a little confused sometimes as to what goes where. This all starts or has developed with a situation with China. I understand that China was one of the largest acceptors of our recycling goods. Is that correct?
That's correct. They we export about 40% of all of our recyclable material to China. So it was a huge market for us.
And recently, China said, look, you're not doing this right, and you're causing us a lot of trouble here, and we're not going to take your recycling anymore if you don't clean it up. Is that what happened?
That's absolutely true. Yeah. Something along those same lines. what we had been sending them, the recyclable material that was coming out of the United States was the highest quality there is. And it had been based on their standards and global industry standards for decades, basically. And almost overnight, China said, well, we're going to raise those standards. And you have very little time to adapt. And so what happened was not just the U.S., but the entire global recycling community then had to adapt to these standards.
Okay. Now, your organization does surveys, and I guess there were some interesting responses as to what most people think recycling actually is.
That's correct. And so with all the news coming out of China, we wanted to see, how this was impacting people's views of recycling. Mm-hmm. And what we found was, for the most part, people still found recycling to be a very valuable part of their community, 88%. So, I mean, that was great. Mm-hmm. And with anything, there was recommendations people had of things that they would like to see in their communities in terms of how to improve it. And primarily that was education, to no surprise, really. There was a lot of facts, too, is basically about how people wanted more collections, larger bins, which is a good thing because that means people want to recycle.
True.
And then the issue becomes not just recycling, but you want people to recycle correctly because that goes back to the issues with China in terms of what goes in the bin needs to be done the right way so that what comes out is of a higher quality.
Yeah. One of my neighbors in my neighborhood only puts out the trash bin every week, and I've never seen this neighbor put out a recycling bin, and I feel like knocking on their door and saying, "What the hell's wrong with you? I don't think I can do that." But it angers me. I know what they're doing. They're being lazy is what they're doing. I don't know. I just thought I'd throw that in there. People know when you're not recycling is what I'm trying to say.
It is noticeable. You walk down the street and you see people have, their bin or they don't have their bin out. So it's very noticeable.
It is. I am a bit confused, though, and I don't know if it's my fault or the fault of the people that pick up the recycling. I don't always know what is recyclable and what isn't. I look for the little symbols. I spend more time looking for the symbol to see if it's recyclable than I do when I'm shopping to see how much sugar or sodium is in a food product. It's not that easy sometimes.
You're absolutely right, and you're not alone, and that came out in the survey a lot, too, and there's a couple of reasons for that. One is that it varies from community to community.
Oh.
You can move from one town to the next, and it's completely different from what's accepted to how it's picked up, and that's contributed to some of the challenges that, as an industry, we've faced as well.
Yeah.
And so it's hard for me to say, do this or don't do that, because it may not be that way in your community.
Gotcha.
So the best way to do it is to reach out to your community, go to their website, and look there, because they should have guidelines there in terms of with their collection and what's accepted, what's not, how to separate things.
Yeah.
One of the things to do is, keep the cardboard boxes as dry as possible before you put them out.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take long, but just rinsing a lot of the containers that you put in there has a huge, hugely helpful.
Yeah. I don't even understand what happens to it after it's picked up by the trucks. I assume that there's quite a few sorting steps before it makes it to any type of export.
Yeah, so and again, this varies depending on the technology in your local area, which is also, that's usually what determines what can be picked up and what can't be picked
mm-hmm.
up. But so usually it'll go through a facility that where there's a series of magnets that pulls out all of the metallic magnetic material, the optical sorters, all sorts of different high-tech equipment that separates plastics out, separates the paper out. And so then they'll separate all the different types of materials, they'll bale it, and then it'll be shipped out either for to use as feedstock and material here in the U.S. in the manufacturing or to overseas. And we export to about 145 countries each year.
I was quite shocked by that. I thought that all the recyclables could stay at home and we'd be very rich in resources. Is there actually an overabundance of recyclables?
Yes, so we do use a lot of the material here in the manufacturing chain here,
mm-hmm.
and what we export is a surplus.
Wow, that's good for us. That's the one good thing I think we've done.
It has. That's the one thing that not a lot of people realize. Right. It has contributed positively to the balance of trade.
Right. Yeah. Now, they're not just taking our recyclables in China because of Trump, are they? Well, you don't have to answer that. Okay.
No, this was going on well before his administration.
Yeah. So. A mere coincidence, I assume. Okay, how do we get more information about this? I don't know. I'm still a little confused, but at the same time, I'm glad that we're doing so well with it.
Yeah, so to a lot of things that individuals can do, we've built a website. It's called abetterbin.org.
Good.
And I'll have some more information about this poll that just came out,
good,
things that individuals can do to help, and along with local communities and even what the industry can be doing to create a better bin.
Perfect. Hey, this is very interesting because, again, it's something that we all should be doing, and most of us, of course, are, depending on where we live, of course. Hey, thank you so much for your time today, Mark.
Thank you for having me.
All right. And by the way, if you want to look at the, what is the website of the Institute?
It's www.isri.org.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you so much again.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Have a good one.
Interesting stuff. Recycle. Cycle and then recycle. And then cycle again. And recycle more. And recycle and then cycle re. Because that's the way the Chinese like it. I'm out of time for today. I hope that you've learned something. I think you have, maybe not from me. Maybe at some point in your life you learned something. I'll take it as a compliment. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Please join me then at any time of day. I'm always here. I am here to be clicked on. I am clickable. I don't know, my entire life I apparently led up to the moment where I could be clicked on. It's sad, really, in a sense. In any event, have yourself a wonderful day, please. I wish that upon you.
And the best to the family. Oh, I hope I might give my best wishes to the... Bless you. Bless you and your family.